shepherd which seemed to stretch all the way to the hub. It looked at Nigel again.
Yes, it said. I think so. Otherwise, why we do it?
Only there's a lot of people out there who would prefer you not to, you see, said Nigel desperately. A rock spire loomed briefly ahead of the glacier, rocked for a second and then vanished. He added, also, children and small furry animals.
They will suffer in the course of progress. Now is the time we've reclaimed the world,
rumbled the giant.
Whole world of ice, according to inevitability of history and triumph of thermodynamics.
Yes, but you don't have to, said Nigel.
We want to, said the giant. The gods are gone. We throw off the shackles of outmoded superstition.
Freezing the old world solid doesn't sound very progressive to me, said Nigel.
We like it.
Yes, yes, said Nigel, in the maniacally glazed tones of one who is trying to see all sides of the issue and is certain that a solution will be found if people of goodwill will only sit around a table and discuss things rationally like sensible human beings. But is this the right time? Is the world ready for the triumph of ice?
It bloody well better be,
said the giant, and swung his glacier prod at Nigel. It missed the horse, but caught him full in the chest, lifting him clean out of the saddle and flicking him onto the glacier itself. He spun, spread-eagled down its freezing flanks, was carried some way by the boil of debris, and rolled into the slush of ice and mud between the speeding walls. He staggered to his feet and peered hopelessly into the freezing fog. Another glacier bore down directly on him. So did Kanina. She leaned over as her horse swept down out of the fog, caught Nigel by his leather barbarian harness, and swung him up in front of her. As they rose again, he wheezed,
"Cold-hearted bastard! I really thought I was getting somewhere for a moment there. You just can't talk to some people."
The herd breasted another hill, scraping off quite a lot of it, and the Stow Plain, studded with cities, lay helpless before it. Rincewind sidled towards the nearest thing, holding coin with one hand and swinging the loaded sock in the other.
"No magic, right?" he said.
Yes, said the boy.
Whatever happens, you mustn't use magic.
That's it, not here. They haven't got much power here if you don't use magic. Once they break through, though...
His voice trailed away.
Pretty awful, Rincewind nodded.
Terrible, said Coin.
Rincewind sighed. He wished he still had his hat. He'd just have to do without it.
All right, he said. When I shout, you make a run for the light. Do you understand? No looking back or anything. No matter what happens.
No matter what?
Said Coin uncertainly.
No matter what. Rincewind gave a brave little smile. Especially no matter what you hear.
He was vaguely cheered to see Coin's mouth become an O of terror.
And then, he continued, when you get back to the other side...
What shall I do?
Rincewind hesitated.
I don't know, he said. Anything you can. As much magic as you like. Anything. Just stop them. And,
Yes?
Rincewind gazed up at the thing, which was still staring into the light.
If it... You know, if anyone gets out of this, you know, and everything is all right after all, sort of thing, I'd like you to sort of tell people I sort of stayed here. Perhaps they could sort of write it down somewhere. I mean, I wouldn't want a statue or anything, he added virtuously. After a while, he added, I think you ought to blow your nose.
Coin did so on the hem of his robe, then shook Rincewind's hand solemnly.
If ever you...
He began.
That is, you're the first... It's been a great... You see, I never really...
His voice trailed off, and then he said,
I just wanted you to know that.
There was something else I was trying to say, said Rincewind,
letting go of the hand. He looked blank for a moment and then added,
Oh yes, it's vital to remember who you really are. It's very important. It isn't a good idea to rely on other people or things to do it for you, you see. They always get it wrong.
I'll try and remember, said Coin.
It's very important, Rincewind repeated almost to himself. And now I think you'd better run.
Rincewind crept closer to the thing. This particular one had chicken legs, but most of the rest of it was mercifully hidden in what looked like folded wings. It was, he thought, time for a last few words. What he said now was likely to be very important. Perhaps they would be words that would be remembered and handed down and maybe even carved deeply in slabs of granite. Words without too many curly letters in, therefore.
I really wish I wasn't here, he muttered.
He hefted the sock, whirled it once or twice, and smashed the thing on what he hoped was its kneecap. It gave a shrill buzz, spun wildly with its wings creaking open, lunged vaguely at Rincewind with its vulture head, and got another sock full of sand on the upswing.